यूनिट टू फाइल फोर इकोनॉमिक्स इन द स्कूल क्यूरिकुलम एंड इट्स ऑब्जेक्टिव्स रिलेशन ऑफ द इंक्लूजन ऑफ इकोनॉमिक्स एट द सेकेंडरी हायर सेकेंडरी स्टेज The NCERT 2001 has explained the rationale of the introduction of economics at the secondary stage as under. Economics as a discipline is introduced at the higher secondary stage in the form of an elective subject. At the secondary stage of school education, the study of economics as a component of social science has been dealt with in a very general manner, avoiding the rigors, rigours of economic theory. But at the higher secondary stage, the students are in a position to develop their own perceptions, exercise the power of thinking, and are also in the position to comprehend the appreciate the basic concept and theories of economics. It is therefore an appropriate stage when the students are initiate into studying economics separately as a discipline. At this stage, the students could be exposed to the issue involving the study of the structure of the economy, the market forces, the strategy of achieving higher levels of economic growth and development, structural and institutional changes, the planning processes, the new challenges before the Indian economy, including globalization and liberalization, liberalization. Besides, the course aims at equipping them with statistical tools that will help them understand. Interrupt and explain statistical information or data and draw meaningful conclusions. The course designed for the students at high stage thus intends to provide them an opportunity to acquaint and familiarize themselves with the recent developments in the discipline as well as with the functioning to various economics, financial and other institutions. Some project activities in the syllabus are also introduced in order to enable the students to develop better insight. This would provide the students as opportunity to have not only a better understanding of a subject but also apply a skills that they have acquired. The syllabus is so constructed as to help the students to use computers wherever applicable for analyzing of data and preparation and presentation of report. Objectives of teaching economics is laid down by the NCERT 2001 for the higher secondary stage. The course of economics will help learner to first familiarize themselves with some basic economics theories and concepts such as demand, supply, consumption, production and distribution. Second, understand the implications of market forces determining the choice and allocation of resources. Third, get acquainted with the basic concepts of national income, aggregates, theories of income and employment, money and function of banks. Fourth, familiarize themselves with the structure of the Indian economy and the economic development of India since independence. Fifth, enhance their awareness of issues and problems confronting the Indian economy and the concept of suitable development. Sixth, equip themselves with the various statistical tools to analysis, interpret and explain data and information. Objectives of teaching economics is laid down by Central Board of Secondary Education 2001-2002. First, to help the students to understand the existing economic institution in India in their historical perspective. Second, to help the students understand the structure of our economy and changes it is undergoing. Third, to help the students acquaint with principles, laws and concepts of economics. Fourth, to help the students understand the concept of national income and methods used in calculating national income. Fifth, to help the students appreciate the need of economic reconstruction. Correlation of economics with other subjects. Meaning of correlations. Correlations is the interrelation of material. It is a technique of teaching learning which is used to establish a reciprocal relationship among the various subjects of curriculum and between the school environment and the outside environments. Knowledge is one whole and every source of knowledge is related to other sources in some degree. It is observed in this regard by Guyan, G-U-Y-A-N. Facts and ideas have a real and useful influence over the mind only when the mind systematizes and coordinates them with other facts and ideas as they are produced. This is the basis of correlation. Need for correlation. First, complex and interrelated problems of life. The aim of education is to prepare an individual for life that is full of complex problems. The solution of these complex problems requires the study of the large number of subjects. Take for the instance unemployment. It must be studied not only in relation to economic activity and industry, but in relation to education, politics, and administration. The knowledge of these and other subjects is needed to understand these problems. The best method of education would therefore be to study groups of subjects that are interrelated and help in solution of various problems of life. Second, crowded curricula. CROWDED. Crowded. CURRICULA. Curricula. In the past, the child had to learn a few subjects, but now the number of subjects has become large. It is not possible to have a sound knowledge of a subject without correlating it with the other and other subjects. Third, artificiality of treatment. Education through unrelated different subjects is detrimental to effective teaching learning. It becomes verbal, formal, and artificial, and isolates the individual from life. The work of different teachers remains isolated and no attention to paid to the pupils' needs. The curriculum remains mere academic and its bearing a life is ignored. Thus, correlation is needed. Fourth, association of ideas. The psychological principle of association of ideas gives rise to correlation. Any piece of knowledge, activity, or experiences is, although is isolated fragment, it is based upon, related to, or is the product of information that we get from various subjects through various activities we perform either at school or outside. Education is a synthetic and not a isolated process. The task of teaching is a unifying, a composite affair. Correlation is the technique which aims at imparting knowledge in a unified and integrated way. 5. Gestalt point of view. Gestalt point of view. GESTALT. Persons of this way of thinking maintain that the whole is greater than part and even different from the sum of its part. Mind is not composed of different faculties. Cohesion, COHESION, is the power of mind that integrates influence and impressions. An information related to one thing and again some thing related to the same thing should be put together. 6. New trends in curriculum. New trends in education do not regard subjects in the isolated way. For example, social sciences includes history, geography, civics and economics, and as such our method of teaching should also present the subjects in a correlated way. T. Roymont pleased for correlation as he thinks that total neglect of the natural affinities of subjects of instruction undoubtedly increases the embarrassment caused by crowded curricula. It shoots out the light which one study often sets upon another. It leads to artificially of treatment and lose of interest. It deliberately trains the pupil to take a false view of knowledge of a mere agglomeration of independent parts and to crown all. It leaves room for diversities of aim where the aim is essentially one. Classification of correlations. Following methods are normally used to classification of correlations. First, classification of correlation. First, correlation with life. Second, correlation of subjects with the craft. Third, correlation of different subjects among themselves. Fourth, correlation within the contents of subject. Fifth, correlation of subjects around the project. Method second, classification of correlation. First, multilateral correlation, unilateral correlation, and third, collateral correlation. Method third, first, incidental correlations, second, planned correlations. Method fourth, first, horizontal correlations, second, vertical correlations. Method fifth, first, correlation among subjects, second, correlation among different topics of same subjects. Correlation with life. It is an idea type of relations. School is said to be the epitome, epitome, of life, and our schools should be society of community in miniature, miniature. The activities of the life of school must be linked with the outside life. The school curriculum subject consists of simplified, purified and balanced activities of society. The school should become the center of community life. Correlation of subjects with the craft and industry. The Zakir Hussain Committee report lays down the element of curriculum which we have recommended are closely correlated with one another because we have made an attempt to relate them integrally to the life and the environment of the child. Hence, the center of correlation is a craft chosen according to the needs of environments. Gandhiji said, "The scheme I wish to place before you today is not a teaching of some handicraft side by side with the so-called liberal education. I want that the whole education should be imparted through some handicraft and industry. Correlation of different subjects among themselves. The relation of different subjects should be done in such a way as one subject constantly helps instruction in the other subjects. While teaching history, the history teacher will stress that India had to face foreign invasion because of this economic prosperity. Many social and economic events are the outcome of historical and geographical influences and vice versa. VICEVERSA. Similarly, in the teaching of physical sciences, attempts should be made a correlation various subjects. Correlation within the contents of subject. Topic of the subject should be so arranged that one develops as a natural outcome of the other and prepares the way for the succeeding one. It is a well-known maxim that the child learns new things in term of the old. The famous Herbert's 10 steps of preparation, presentation, comparison, generalization, and application are the outcomes of such a way of thinking. The children should be led from the knowledge known to the unknown. Rainfall and climate become the starting point of vegetation in a geography lesson. The natural resources of country may lead to the industrial life of country in an economics lesson. The downfall of one empire may lead to the study of the rise of another empire in a lesson of history and so on. Correlation of subjects round a project. Apart from correlation of the various subjects like history, geography, economics, language, science, drawing, hygiene, civics, etc. With the project, there are many opportunities for the development of democratic and social outlook. Kind of correlation. First, multilateral correlation. In this type of correlation, a particular step, incident, or item is taken and other subjects correlated. The incident of humidity may be taken from teaching subjects like general science, mathematics, and social studies. Second, unilateral correlation. Here we correlate one incident with another. Third, collateral correlation. Knowledge and action are simultaneous. It is learning by doing. The child is counting while winding yarn round the winder. Advantages are merits of correlation. First, correlation gives a sort of unity to the curriculum and makes it less cumbersome. Second, it encourages the all-round growth and development of the child. Third, it assists in bridging the gulf between school and society. Second, it encourages the all-round growth and development of the child. Third, it assists in bridging of gulf between school and society. Fourth, it stabilizes the close relationship between experience and knowledge. Fifth, it prevents narrow specialization. Sixth, it makes education natural. Various subjects are closely related to each other and are put together. Seven, it makes the lesson interesting by bringing various experiences together. Eight, learning by doing takes the place of chalk and talk when we organize projects to correlate different subjects. Essential of good correlations. First, correlation should be spontaneous and natural. Artificial and forced correlation should be avoided. Second, it should be suited to the needs and interests of the students. Third, correlation should help in making learning easy, interesting, and intelligible. Fourth, in dealing with every topic, the teacher should attempt to take use of every bit of associated or alleged matter that may be of some help in enabling the child to understand the topic more completely. Fifth, we required enterprising and imaginative teachers for this art and correlation. We require teachers who are well read, well informed, well equipped with the knowledge of child psychology, and who are sufficiently intelligent. Such teacher will be ever ready to correlate their relation in the proper way and will also inspire and enthuse students. ENTHUSE, enthuse students. Six, for the successful working of the scheme of the correlation, we required a flexible curriculum. A rigid curriculum will not allow freedom to the teachers to embark upon various projects which give knowledge in a correlated way. Seven, our approach to education should be radically changed. Subject matter of different subjects may have to be reoriented, R-E-O-R-I-E-N-T-A-T-E-D, is the light of the activities to be provided in a school. 8. The various subjects of study and the life of the community should be liked together. Knowledge is worth if it leads a appreciation and solution of human problems. 9. Correlation should be based on the nature of subject and the stage of pupil's mental development. 10. Full freedom of time should be given by in proper correlation. Limitation of correlation. First, one exclusive method cannot be employed in all teaching situations. All subjects and skills cannot be taught through a single method. It is not educationally sound to make one method to the be all and end all of teaching in a school. Professor Naidu remarks, "It is absurd to hang all knowledge from the pegs, P-E-G-S, pegs of single craft." Second, this method cannot be applied with equal efficiency on all occasions by all teachers. Third, correlated method cannot be used successfully in higher grade when the subjects become distinct and specialized. Fourth, cultural subjects cannot be taught from this method. Professor Naidu writes, "It is impossible to establish any natural association between a craft and the subject of cultural value which any one system of education should cover through its curriculum." Brief history of correlation. Herbart may be said to the originator of the concept of correlation in teaching learning. His basis was the doctrine of mass apperception, according to which new knowledge to be effective should be correlated with the previous knowledge of the students. Herbart's disciple Ziller explained these principle and introduced the principle of centralization. This implies that one subject should be made the central subject and other subjects correlated with it. He made history as central point. Colon Parker made natural sciences as a central point. Dewey linked education with life activities and called it principle of integration. Gandhiji laid stress on craft as the basis of correlation. Wider spectrum of subject matter of economics and its close link with all over developmental plans. Economics deal principally with money, its inward and outward flow, with which in other words means income and expenditure. However, it will be wrong to assume that economics deals with this limited role. It has a wider spectrum to cover, hence it has rightly been defined as the science dealing with production, distribution and consumption of goods and services. The economics we often hear one term, example, gross national productivity, which is taken to be an indicator of national progress. When we talk in national progress, it is not confined to people's momentary status, but it covers overall status of person. Modern economics has become a complex subject because it now deals with multifarious socio-economic and financial matter of an individual as well as of society. It studies systematically and methodically the economic network and society, including agriculture, business, money and banking, international trade, transportation, planning, growth and development. Because of an intimate relationship with nations' developmental aspects, subjects like character accountancy, cost accountancy, operational research, industrial relations, labor relations, social administration, economic administrations, business administration, industrial administration, statistics, sociology, public administration, social work and social welfare with cumulatively contribute to the gross national productivity has come an integral part of economics. Study of economics has now assumed great importance as activities of modern society cannot be comprehended in isolation. It has close link with production, management and distribution of goods and services of variety of nature and only at national but also international fronts. Economists are constantly engaged in analyzing and interpreting the number of economic phenomena occurring at the rapid pace and influencing all aspects of human life. The growth of industries, expansion of business, and all-round economic advancement make it essentially to take decisions intelligently and fairly quickly. At this critical juncture, economists come forward and contribute substantially to arrive at decisions. Relationship of economics with other disciplines. The Dictionary of Economics, 1998, states that the borderline between economics and other disciplines like psychology, sociology, accounting, and geography are not easily defined, and it is perhaps not particularly productive to do so. It further states that political economy, an early title for the subject, now sounds old-fashioned. Economic and commerce, their mutual relationship. Economics and commerce are closely related to each other. Economics provides the base of commerce as a subject of study. The development of commerce is linked with the economic development of society. Likewise, the development of commerce as a discipline is linked with the development of economics as a discipline. Sometimes commerce is regarded as a practical application of economic principles. Arthur Melty in Economics and Commerce explains the relationship of economics and commerce in these words. Economics is fundamentally concerned with the problems arising from production of goods and services and the demand for them. Commerce, on the other hand, is essentially involved with their distribution and the various processes and services which makes distribution fully efficient. But while the economist may study the relation by which one method of distribution can be more advantageous than another, the allies activities of commercial enterprise deal with the way in which distribution is actually achieved. The student of commerce is more concerned with the how than why the economic activity. Study of commerce is based on production and exchange, which are economic factors. The development of special agencies like insurance, banking, agency system, warehousing goes to indicate the close relationship of commerce to economic factor. The fact is that the economic basis of commerce remains unquestioned. Important topic in which relationship can be established between economics and commerce. First, development of Indian trade and industries. Second, Indian banking system. Third, Indian business organization. Fourth, Indian currency. Five, economic law and principles. Economics and political science. It is of great interest to note that economics in the past was known as political economy. Kautilya's Arthashastra was a manual of statecraft as well as treatise on economics. In modern times, McClure and Mark, M-A-C-L-V-E-R and M-A-R-X, have regarded both the sciences to be closely interrelated. Economics interpretation of history, as discussed by Marx, has established beyond doubt and economics and political science are inseparable. Economics situations have a decided say in political life of country. Economic condition is in Russia brought about a new form of political government. Similarly, political setup of various countries has greatly affected the economic condition and politics. The political domination of the British exercised a tremendous influence on the economic situation in India. Gandhiji was both a political scientist as well as an economist. Every political party is supposed to have its economic program. Aristotle described it detail economic problem of the state in his book Politics. Chanakya's Arthashastra is already referred to discuss various political aspects like justice, war, peace and diplomacy side by side with agriculture, commerce, revenue, currency and other economic and financial aspects. Garner has very rightly observed, the burning question of present day politics at the same time are fundamentally question of economics. Indeed, the old theory of government administration is largely economic. According to Gilchrist, political movements are profoundly influenced by economic causes. Economic life is conditioned by political institutions and ideas. There is no doubt that several of the problems of the state are economic ones, and the state works for their solution. Some example of correlation of economics and political science. First, economic and political policies and systems. Second, colonization and decolonization. Third, monetary systems. Fourth, taxations. Economics and geography. In the present age of science and technology, human activities are influenced and controlled more by economic and geographical forces. It is therefore in the technique of economics a good deal of attention is paid to geographical conditions, which have a great bearing on economic activities. Economic geography has become an integral part of economics in some aspects. In economic geography, various situations are described in which geographical factors play an important role. In other words, economic geography is the study of man's activities as controlled or influenced by physical environment, agriculture, minerals, forests, industries, and trade are all influenced by geographical or physical environment. So economics, which is sometimes called the science of wealth, cannot be effectively and properly studied without the knowledge of geography. It is the geographical factor which govern the wealth of country or nation. Thus, geography provided the background of economics. The geographical factors determine to a great extent the means of livelihood of the people. When geographical conditions are favorable, economic activities related to agriculture, commerce, trade and industry flourish. Industrial centers come up account of climate factors. Coal mine lead a the development of coal industry in those areas. Sugar mills are established in the areas which grow sugar cane in abundance. On account of divergent geographical situations, countries like Japan, Denmark and Switzerland etc. have different economics. economies. Example of correlation between economics and geography. First, locations of industries. Second, Indian trades. Third, development of industries in India. Fourth, source of energy. Fifth, food problems. Sixth, development of Indian agriculture. Relation between economics and history. Economic factors have been great determinants of history events. It is common knowledge that the economic prosperity of India attract foreign invaders who in due course greatly influenced the history of India. The British domination of India was on account of the economic and commercial activities of East India Company. With the beginning and end of British rule in India, the new chapter in the history of India is clearly discernible. DISCERNIBLE. History tells us how different countries achieved rapid economic development by adopting particular policies and how these policies could be adapted by underdeveloped countries for the betterment of their economy. Every economic problem of the present can be properly understood and solved satisfactorily in the light of historical background. The history of past economic events throws valuable light on present economic policies and guidance used in the formulation of various economic law and theories. History describes the story of man's and economics describes the activities of man in relation to production, distribution, consumption, and exchange. History describes the social nature of all economic activities of man. Economic revolution in several countries has radically changed the course of history of these countries. Industrial revolution in Europe led to increased production. The need for marketing the produced goods and getting raw materials from other countries led to the colonization of several countries. India also became a victim. With the arrival and departure of British from India, new chapter in this history began. Example of correlation of economics with history. First, on account of this close relationship between economics and history, some scholars tend to call these the twin sister. The Russian Revolution, the French Revolution, and the War of American Independence were the outcome of economic considerations by and large led to the First World War and Second World War. Second, Japan established its supremacy over China for a considerable period on account of economic consideration. This changed the course of history. Economics and mathematics. Recently, the relationship of economics with mathematics and statistics have become very closer. Statistically, data have become an important instrument in propounding several theories of economics. Statistical data in economic provided constraintness and wideness to various economic situations. In the word of Marshall, statistics are the straw out of which I like every other economist have to mark bricks. As observed by R.D.G. Ehlers, E.W.L.E.R.S. Ehlers, the economists get nowhere without statistical guidance. The statistician has a few stock answers but needs more instructions from an economist than he is usually given. Drawing of curves, diagrams, graphs, sketches, and tables in economics depends on the knowledge of mathematics and statistics. Mathematical symbols in economics serve a number of purposes in economics. Almost all theories and practices in economics derive their reliability when tested on touchstone and calculation and principles of mathematics and statistics. There is no doubt that statistics has become an integral part of economics. Without statistics, economics is incomplete. Curriculum in economics formulated by the NCERT and CBSE assigns an importance place of statistics. Examples of correlation of economics with mathematics. First, Malthus theory of populations. Second, quantity theory of money. Third, Keynes theory of interest, K-E-Y-N-E-S. Fourth, business knowledge. Five, law of productions. Six, law of demand and supply. Seven, elasticity of demand. Eight, consumers surplus. Nine, mathematical curves, diagrams, graphs, and tables. Relationship of education and economics are economic development and economic order. Recently, the economists and educational planners have begun to take a keen interest in the relationship of economic development and educational development. The detailing discussion on this aspect is provided in a chapter entitled Economics of Education, Relationship of Economic and Education. Here only some selected opinion on this relationship are given. According to B.G. Tilak, who has done very useful work in this area in India, the relationship between educational growth and economic growth is a two-way process. One of a reciprocal nature of mutual contribution. John Vegey, V-E-I-J-E-Y, Vegey, in his book, The Economics of Education, has humorously but rightly described the relationship between economic growth and educational growth like a chicken and eggs. Harbison and Myers, M-Y-E-R-S, are of the view that education is both the seed and flower of economic development. The system of economic philosophy and the system of education are interdependent, each influenced the other. The system of education in the following system of economically greatly differ in several aspects. Example, aims, contents, methodology, disciplines, and organizations, etc. First, agrarian economic order, A-G-A-R-I-A-N. Second, trade economy. Third, industrial economy. Fourth, capitalist economy. Fifth, fixed economy. Sixth, socialistic economy. Economics and sociology. Till recently, economics and sociology did not form separate disciplines. They were considered as one. Economics and sociology have a great bearing on each other. Economics and social conditions of society are interrelated. The economic policy and programs can be comprehended properly when we are fully acquainted with the social structure of a society. Economic situations and conditions are greatly influenced by the social structure, which include family structure, position of women, etc. Economic conditions also exercise a tremendous influence on the social structure. They determine the way of living of different sections of the society, their status in the society, and their food habits also. The society structure of capitalist society will largely differ from a socialist society.